Lord, we thank you for our scripture readings that remind us that we are to pray constantly in the power of the Holy Spirit, that that gift be fanned into flame, to strengthen us in our inner selves, to face all the challenges each day brings us here on earth, and to trust in you and to keep our eyes fixed on you. So we just pray our hearts be open now to receive the word that has been proclaimed, that it bring forth a harvest of peace, justice, and holiness to you and for the glory of your name. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So I love that second reading from 2 Timothy 1. I remind you to fan into flame. And I think this is a message that we need to hear in every generation, every day in our church, because this is the gift the Lord has given us that encourages us and helps us to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, following the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was anointed in the Holy Spirit and went about doing good and healing those who were oppressed by the devil. We have several things that our scriptures teach us today as far as perseverance in the ways of faith, hope, and love. And the first is the patience and waiting on the Lord, the first reading. And it said, "For the vision still has its time, presses on to fulfillment, and will not disappoint. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late. The rash one has no integrity, but the just one, because of his faith, shall live." So that's a reminder that God's ways are not our ways. I think it's Isaiah 55 says, "As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways far above your ways." And we're not exactly raised in this world today to be patient. You know, if the internet goes out, we have a fit. I do. Call customer support. You're trying to fix things as you're used to your way of life, and we have everything instant. You know, we can get in the car and drive somewhere. We put something in the microwave. We live in a very instant world. And God's ways aren't like that. So the prophet Habakkuk was lamenting the violence and destruction in his society. He was praying for renewal and that people would come back to God and get right with God and right with one another. And it wasn't happening. And I remember one day sitting in adoration. This was in Chicago. I was taking some classes and reading Daniel. And Daniel was a very righteous man. And he had all these visions. And then the Lord says, "Daniel, because you're beloved, I'm going to show you the meaning of these visions." And the message was basically, it's going to get worse before it gets better. None of us want to hear that, right? I'm sure we've all had a situation where we pray for something, and then as we pray for it, the situation gets worse. And you're like, "Lord, what are you doing? Or what are you not doing? How come you're not answering my prayer the way I want you to?" But Daniel, being a righteous man and trusting in the Lord and full of faith, just said, "Okay, I'll do whatever you want me to do. If it has to get worse before it gets better, I'm in this for the whole deal. I'm not going to back out now because you're not fulfilling what I asked you right now." And it's interesting because I was thinking, because it's in the Liturgy of the Hours, Habakkuk, the last chapter, I think it's chapter 3, Habakkuk actually says, you know, even though the fields are bare and there are no animals in the stall and the terrace produces no fruit, yet will I praise my God. That even if I don't see the things I want to see, I know God is good. He makes me strong. He makes me to mount up like hinds or deer on their back legs and to stand up and to receive what I need. So at the end of that chapter just shows that down payment of faith, that even when I don't see with my eyes what I want to see, I trust in the Lord. He's a good God. He's just mysterious and doesn't always do things the way we want to. And I remember my own life praying for something and then something happened, and I thought, well, God is like a vending machine. I put my faith in, like my little coin, and pull the lever, and I dispense the product I want. And then something happened that completely reversed what I thought had come true. I'm like, what? God is not a vending machine? No, he's not. But he's a good God. Amen? And we can trust in him, and we're serving him. So even in our world today, as we pray for justice and peace, and we see things further unraveling, we don't lose hope, because the Holy Spirit's with us. And that leads us to the second point. I remind you to fan into flame the gift of the Holy Spirit that was given to you when I laid my hands upon you. And this is one of the most forgotten teachings in the Catholic Church today, the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. And I remember when I was in college and I received the gift of baptism in the Holy Spirit, how excited I was to be learning about, oh, this is why Jesus said, "Wait, I will send the Advocate to you who leads you into all truth. He will remind you of everything I taught you. He will console you. He will be pleading on your behalf and interceding on your behalf, the Advocate, the Paracletos." And as you begin to experience that in your life, you begin to understand this is real, and this is something that's of extreme importance in every generation in the church, the grace of Pentecost. And, you know, on Wednesday I had a conversation with one of our auxiliary bishops. And so we have this new plan for the Archdiocese called Partners in the Gospel. And it's basically about because we're in decline, and we're in terrible decline as Catholics, and here and just about everywhere in the country and the world, you know, we're going to have to start combining parishes. And we're going to have the priest to serve all of our needs, yada, yada, yada. So what are your preferences? Would you like to serve as a pastor or a parochial vicar? I said, well, I don't enjoy administration. Being on the phone for 1 hour with the Human Resources Department of the Archdiocese of Seattle to figure out how to do a contract for a worker, that's not my idea of fun. I don't like that. I'd rather be preaching and teaching, doing retreats, praying over people for a release of the Holy Spirit. That's what brings me joy. But I realize that you can't always do everything you want to do, and it's not all fun, right? So I said, if it's necessary for me to be a pastor, I'm happy to do that, but my preference would be to be a parochial vicar. What kind of church do you want? Do you want an urban church or a rural church? Well, I like the country, the countryside where there's open air, a lack of airplanes, all the time when you're trying to pray with people. I met with somebody on Friday, and we were right in the line of Seattle SeaTac Airport, so every 30 seconds we had to pause for 30 seconds and wait for a plane to pass by because you couldn't hear a single thing. I'm like, I don't like that. But then you realize your life is not just a bunch of preferences, and you know, the bottom line is I want to go where the Holy Spirit calls me to go as a priest and do whatever he's asking me to do. But if I had my wish list, my bucket list, here it is for you. Okay, goodbye, have a nice day. And that was our conversation. But I also said during the duration of that conversation, I think we're focusing on the wrong things. We're focusing on our decline. We're focusing on what we need to do to close things down. We're not focusing on the gift of the Holy Spirit and the new opportunities God is giving us right now in this day and age to share the gospel with people. It's all, well, we have to shut down. We have to do this. We have to close buildings. It's not focused on sharing Jesus with people and bringing them into a personal relationship, a life-saving relationship with Him. I think the focus is all wrong. We need a spiritual injection right now, not, well, we have to do this and that, and just like Eeyore and Winnie the Pooh is always negative. Well, that's never going to work. And is that how the Lord's calling us to serve Him in this day and age? I don't think so. And if St. Paul were here right now and we shared those kind of plans with him, I bet he'd yell at us. That's not the spirit you received, the spirit of cowardice and timidity. The spirit you received is the spirit of boldness. And where God is a God of the impossible, and when everything looks like it's lost, He can do something amazing and intervene in your life when you least expect it. Is that the kind of faith we have in our church today? Is it? I'm asking a question. I hope so, but the evidence is, well, most of us just are very shy and passive, and we don't share our faith with people. Do you even make the sign of the cross when you go out to eat? Are you embarrassed to do that? I don't want to identify myself as a Catholic, God forbid. Instead of, I'm proud to be a Catholic, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Everything I have is a gift from God. This food I'm about to eat is a gift from God. Even if I prepare it and it's awful, it's a gift from God. Amen? I don't think I've ever given anyone food poisoning, thank you, Lord. But anyways, so I think we need to be focusing on different things. I'll tell you a situation I had that just reminded me of this. So when I was at St. Brendan Parish in Bothell, Washington years ago, a father called me and said, Father Jim, you have to meet with my son. I think he's going to leave the Catholic Church. You need to meet with him. And I thought, well, have you met with him? Did you talk with him about why he should stay in the Catholic Church? No. Okay, send him in. So he came in, probably 20, 21 years old. Well, probably 19 or 20, actually. Just graduated from high school. And he just laid it out and he said, you know, I used to go to St. Brendan Youth Group and all we did was eat pizza and shoot baskets and play basketball. We never did anything serious. We never studied the Bible. We never prayed for each other. It was just a social thing. And now I've joined this other church. It's this very tight-knit. We pray for each other. We study the Bible. We hold each other accountable to the Christian way of life and all the moral teachings of the Christian way of life. And it's very different than it was here. I'm just sitting there like, okay, Holy Spirit, come and help me because this is difficult. I feel like I'm passing a kidney stone here. And he went on, and then he signed up for a trip to the Holy Land with his church. He was going to go in a few months, and I was pretty convinced he wanted to leave the Catholic Church. So I thought, well, what can I share with him to kind of get a hook in there and bring him back? And I thought, the Eucharist. You know, what about the Eucharist? John 6, you know, I'm the bread of life, and unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you will not have life within you. So I went off on this tangent and just started sharing with him about the importance of the Eucharist. And yeah, when I was a teenager too, the Baptist church had way better music than we did. They had better preaching. They were more dedicated, but they didn't have the Eucharist. And for me, that was a deal breaker. So I gave him my spiel. He got up and thanked you for your time, Father Jim, and he left. And you know, one of the things he said during the duration of our conversation, this was really sad. He said, "I don't even think my mom and dad are Christians." I asked them why we go to church. They said, "Well, because we're this culture and we're supposed to go to Mass every Sunday because we're part of this culture." He said they didn't talk at all about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ or anything like that. I just said, "Well, you know, I don't want to judge them, but, you know, I don't know." But anyways, he left, and I'm pretty convinced he probably didn't come back to the Catholic Church after our conversation. Isn't that sad that that father didn't have the ability to talk to his son about our Catholic faith? If you're a parent, don't you want that ability to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, to be a witness? You're the first educators of your children in the ways of faith. We say that at every baptism. And this is a reminder that you're the first educators of your children in the ways of faith. Be the best of teachers by what you say and do. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we can't do that. It's not possible. It just becomes a cultural thing and they fall away and leave. But if that man had been baptized in the Holy Spirit, that would have been a very different conversation. I'm convinced of that. He would have spoken to his son very personally and said, "Hey, this is why I go to church. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. He laid down his life for me that I might have life and have it in abundance. And he redeemed me from my sins." And every Mass is a celebration of that reality when we come together to celebrate Mass. But that didn't happen. So we need the Holy Spirit more desperately in our Catholic Church today to guide us and lead us. Amen?
Amen.
Lastly, the Lord tells us, don't be intimidated. The enemy is pouring out all of his wrath and fury right now and trying to intimidate us. And like I said, you know, I've been praying for my dad, and every time we get a report, it's just worse for his health. He has cancer really bad, and we got some really bad news on Thursday. And so, you know, you can just cower down and be discouraged or say, "I'm going to put forward the faith I have and believe that God is going to help our family through this journey, whatever it is, how many more months it is, how many more years it is possibly, and that he's a good God." And he's done that before in my life. So go back and remember the goodness of the Lord in times past when you were down and out and he came through and broke through your world and brought you the Christian hope, because he'll do it again. So Jesus is telling us today in the gospel, don't analyze everything. Just put forward the faith you have and let me work with you. I'm a compassionate God. I'm a patient God. And I will multiply your faith and help you understand that all things are working for your good the more you love me. And so that's what he's telling us in the gospel today. Don't get into the paralysis of analysis. Well, if I had more faith, what about? Just put forward the faith you have and watch him amaze you. Amen? That's how he works. So let's pray for that right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of our faith, and we recognize that we're in very difficult times and that many people are falling away, but many people have never really been hooked on the message or accepted you in their heart as Lord and Savior. So help us not to be discouraged, but to call more upon the grace of the Holy Spirit. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And so we're asking today for a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit to strengthen us in ourselves, to overcome fear, anxiety, discouragement, and to rise and walk confidently as you take us by the hand and lead us to our eternal destination. And we thank you for all the support you provide each and every day, and especially for the intercession of all of our holy angels and saints, and especially our Blessed Mother Mary. She is the example par excellence of patience and faith and trust in you. Guide us, open our hearts, and lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.